Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Ezra. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we are up to Perek Vav Pasuk Tes Zayin, chapter 6, sentence 16. We saw the completion of the construction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and now we get to the dedication of that Beis HaMikdash. It's worth taking a couple of minutes before we read about this dedication, to see other dedications of the Beis HaMikdash. And there is a certain commonality between them. So what we're going to see is first the dedication by Shlomo of the first Beis HaMikdash, then Chizkiyahu's rededication of that Beis HaMikdash after a period of Avodah Zarah, of idolatry. Then we'll see King Yoshiyahu dedicating the Beis HaMikdash again, still the first Beis HaMikdash, again after a period of idolatry. And then we'll see Yechezkel's prediction of the dedication of a future Beis HaMikdash. So what we start out with is Malachim Aleph, Kings 1, Chapter 8, Sentences 62 to 64, from the end of that parak. And it says the following. V'amelech v'chol Yisrael imo zovachim zevach lifnei Hashem. The king and all the Jews with him brought karbanos in front of Hashem. Vayizbach Shlomo as zevach hashlamim asher zevach l'Hashem. Shlomo shechted the karban shlamim before God. Bakar, cattle, esrim ushnaim elef, 22,000. Vitzon, meyav esrim alef, and another 120,000 sheep. And they dedicated the house of Hashem. And then it goes on to describe how he consecrated, Shlomo consecrated not only the Beis HaMikdash, but also the yard outside, because there wasn't room in the Beis HaMikdash for all of the karbanos. So that's our first example of a dedication. Then we get Chizkiyahu, and it's recorded in Divrei HaYamim Beis, Perek Chaf Tes, chapter 29, in the second book of Divrei HaYamim. And what we're told here is, hang on one second, scrolling, there we go. Vayasfu es achayhem vayiskadeshu vayavou kimitzvas hamelech bedivrei Hashem letaher beis Hashem. They gathered their brethren and they dedicated themselves, or they consecrated themselves, and they came at the command of the king to purify the house of Hashem. They removed Avodah Zarah, they got rid of the idolatry, and then Chizkiyahu gathers the leaders. And in Divrei Hayamim Beis, chapter 29, sentence 21, they brought seven bulls, parim shiva, ve'elim shiva, seven rams, ukvasim shiva, seven lambs, utzfira izim shiva, as well as seven goats, lechatas, for a sin offering, al hamamlacha, v'al hamikdash, v'al Yehuda, for the empire, for the Beis HaMikdash, for Judea, and they shecht the animals, and they bring the karbanos, and that is the dedication under Chizkiyahu. And there's much more text, but we're going to pause that part of it at any rate here, and move to Divrei HaYamim Beis, chapter 35, sentences 7 to 9, when King Yoshiyahu also dedicates the Beis HaMikdash, and again, after a period of idolatry. There was much more in terms of the sacrifices that they brought in the time of Chizkiyahu, like hundreds more, if you keep on reading in the passage there. But now we move on to Chizkiyahu, and in Chizkiyahu's day, for the dedication, again, it's Divrei HaYamim Beis, chapter 35, sentences 7 to 9. Vayarem Yoshiyahu livnei ha'am tzon kvasim ubnei izim hakol ha'psachim. There they celebrate the Karban Pesach, and they bring sheep, and they bring goats for that purpose. All told, shloshim elef, 30,000, as well as another 3,000 cattle, all of that coming from the king's property. And then we are told about more gifts and more karbanos, hundreds more. Take a look there in Divrei HaYamim Beis, chapter 35, sentences 7 to 9. And then the prediction that Yechezkel makes for the Miluim service dedicating a future Beis HaMikdash, that's in Yechezkel chapter 43, sentences 8 to 27, and chapter 45, sentences 18 to 25. So Yechezkel there describes, hang on, the dedication of the Kohanim and the bringing of Karbanos, which are going to happen each day. I'm just looking for the number of karbanos. Actually, at first just describes 7 days of bringing karbanos. It does not give a number. That's in chapter 43. And then in chapter 45, we are told again about bringing the karbanos. I thought there was a number of karbanos there. But other than telling us 7 days of the chag, you are going to bring seven bulls, seven rams, and a chatas, a sin offering each day. I don't see the overall number. I thought there was an overall number here. All right, nunu. The point being that in each of the dedications, there's a heavy emphasis on bringing karbanos and large numbers of karbanos, which don't seem to have any parallel elsewhere in our ritual. It seems to be some kind of a special moment in which they just bring large numbers of karbanos that don't correspond to anything in particular. So keep that in mind. We're now back in Ezra, chapter 6, sentence 16. Va'avadu b'nei Yisrael. Remember, they completed the Beis HaMikdash on the third day of the month of Adar. We're now told, Va'avadu b'nei Yisrael, the Jews performed, as well as Kahanaya v'Levaye, the Kohanim and Leviim, Ushar b'nei Galusa, and everybody else from the exile. They performed Chanukah's Beis Elaka Dina, the dedication of this house of God, b'chedva, with joy. Malbim picks up on the emphasis on, first of all, dedication of this house, and the fact that it's a dedication with joy, and he comments on both. He says the following, first of all, regarding dedication of this house, Im hayu zochem az haya magia zman hagi'ula ha'asida, had they merited it, then the future redemption would have happened right then. V'tekef achar binyan zeh hayarid beis hamikdash min hashamayim, and right after the dedication of this house, the beis hamikdash would have descended from the heavens. K'mikdash shara Yechezkel, like the vision that Yechezkel saw of a beis hamikdash, v'yumaschilim hachanukah hashenis shenem rabbi Yechezkel, and they would have started on the dedication that's predicted in Yechezkel, which we just referenced from the text there. So that would have happened right then if the Beis HaMikdash would have, if they would have merited it. So they're dedicating this house and anticipating the dedication of another house. And he says, V'hinei Chanukas Yechezkel Taschil B'chaf Gimel Adar K'mavur Sham. He says, if you look in the passage in Yechezkel, you will find the dedication of that future Beis HaMikdash is supposed to take place on the 23rd day of Adar. So what they did was, they finished the construction on the 3rd of Adar. And then they extend their dedication for a few weeks, hoping that it's going to turn into the dedication of the future Beis HaMikdash. That's one note that Malbim makes. The other note that Malbim makes is that there's an emphasis in the text that they do it b'chedva, with joy. So the Malbim writes, Yan shebiyamim ha'ele chal purim shehem yimei mishta v'simcha. He says, this is the time of Purim, right? You're going from the 3rd of Adar to the 23rd of Adar. So this is the period of Purim, which has its own joy. The point is to say, their dedication was the real source of joy for them, even though it was coming at the time of Purim. The events of Purim, according to the Malbim, happened before this completion and dedication of the Beis HaMikdash. Presumably he's going along with the view that Darius, in whose day they completed the construction, is the son of Esther and Achashverosh, and therefore it is after the events of the Purim story. So, we're emphasizing that they dedicated this Beis HaMikdash anticipating the future one, and that they're doing it with joy that's even greater than the joy of the joy of Purim. And then we are told, chapter 6, sentence 17, V'akrivu l'chanukas beis elaka dina, they brought for the dedication of this house of God, Torin me'ah, and again, it's this house of God, by the way, Torin me'ah, they've got 100 birds, Dichrin masayin, 200 rams, Imrin arbama'ah, 400 sheep, Utsfirei izin, and goats, L'chata'a al kol Yisrael, as a sin offering, apparently, for all Israel, Trei asar, there were 12 goats, L'minyan shivta Yisrael, because there are 12 tribes. That's very interesting. First of all, it's interesting that you have a lot of korbanos. Now I understand it's part of this trend for dedications of the Beis Hamikdash. The Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah Yud Gimel Aleph says that the idea is that you bring as many as you're able to afford. So each time that they dedicated it, they did it based on, you know, whatever they had capacity to be able to bring. That's number one. Number two, though, is this business of the Karban Chatas. Why are they bringing a sin offering? What is that about? So those who were there in Shul, when I spoke about on Yizkor, I spoke about the dedication that came with a sin offering. That's actually not this one. That's the one that's coming up once Ezra shows up. We'll see that later on in chapter 8. This is an earlier sin offering. So why are they bringing a sin offering at that point? So Rashi says, in general, about the karbanos that they brought, he's not talking about the sin offering per se, that all of these karbanos that they brought were haras shah. This was simply divine ruling that's what they're going special practice for that time. This is what we're going to do. Remember how Horas Shah works. Horas Shah means that there's going to be a little bit of thumping from upstairs. Don't mind the noise in the background. A little work going on in the building. But Horas Shah means a practice which is implemented as a one-time deal, because there is a momentary need. There's a need of the moment to do something that is special, that's not mandated by halacha, but nonetheless it's going to be done. Usually it's on the ruling of a Navi, on the ruling of a prophet. So Rashi says that's what's going on here. They're bringing karbanos that have no precedent. There is no prescription in the Torah for bringing this number of karbanos and these kinds of karbanos. It is simply ruling of the moment, presumably for the joy of the occasion, that they are doing this. That's Rashi's explanation for why they did this, including the chatas, including the sin offering. It is worth noting that the Gemara in Menachos, Mem Hei Omed Aleph, says that this is actually the ritual that was predicted by Yechezkel that we read about before, Yechezkel chapter 45. This is what Yechezkel wanted them to do. Also worth noting, a chatas is not always a sin offering. Sometimes a chatas is an offering which has the same rituals as we associate with a sin offering, but it's not actually for any sin. We know that, for example, the Torah says that a woman who gives birth brings a karban chatas after giving birth, but the Gemara in Krisus Daf Chavav Amid Aleph is explicit that she did nothing wrong, there is no sin. It's simply a ritual that has those trappings of the karban chatas, but there's no sin that's actually involved. And that's the likely explanation here. It is, as Rashi says, a special ruling to bring all of these karbanos for the needs of the moment as part of the celebration. Perhaps, as per the Gemara in Menachos, this is actually a fulfillment of what Yechezkel said to do. But in terms of the sin offering, I wouldn't get hung up on it. It isn't necessarily atonement for any sin, and it's not what the Gemara is referring to that I mentioned at Yizkor, where we talked about the sin offerings that we brought in chapter 8. God willing, we'll get there soon, and we'll discuss that then.